And it's just like all of a sudden we just aware of this city, but there's so many other cities that are around the world that's the same.
Right, it's Anytown USA. Happening everywhere.
Anytown USA. And I was telling Keisha, boy, if that had happened here in South Florida, but then I think that happened here all the time. We just don't respond the way that they have.
We have in the past, you know. I grew up in Liberty City, so I was around for, you know, some riots. I remember when I was a kid, there was an Alvarez trial. I don't know if any of you remember that, where the police officer shot a guy on the back of a motorcycle. And, you know, there was a lot of civil unrest after that. And truthfully, the steps that were taken to bring it to a close didn't really happen until, you know, the party started going towards Bayside. And Bayside is like a tourist attraction. So by the time it looked like it was headed in that direction, everything got shut down. So it can happen anywhere, and it's happening everywhere. You know, Ferguson has now brought it to our attention. We can't turn a deaf ear or a blind eye to it. But I think that it's important for us to be aware of what is happening. You know, we get caught up on a lot of other stuff, and it's time for us to pay more attention to what's happening in our backyards.
Yeah, that's so true. I made a post earlier this week on Facebook. I'm pretty active on social media. And it was really in relation to this video that I saw with Jesse Jackson in it. Mm-hmm. But someone posted a stat. I don't even know if we want to talk about that.
You can.
Maybe so. Maybe later. But there was a stat that was posted that someone shared that in the last municipal election in Ferguson, there was a 6% black voter turnout.
Right.
Wow. So, you know, in that sense, I think in South Florida, we're further ahead because at least we do have elected officials who look like us.
Yes.
They may not be as effective all the time as we like them to be, but at least we have representation.
Right.
But, you know, when you have a city that's now under siege, so to speak, and you begin to look at the elected officials and those who are in charge to make laws and keep people safe and care about the well-being, if there's no one there who represents you, then it makes it very difficult to survive. So you are going to have issues with jobs and safety and policing and all of those things that go along with that. So in the midst of all of this, and I don't know what the ultimate solution is. Well, part of the solution is they need to charge the police officer, number one. But when you look even further out than that long term, they've got to take their community back. And a part of how they do that is just what you're going to talk about, voter turnout. You've got to elect some people into office who look like you, who are going to represent you. So I thought that was an interesting statistic.
I totally agree with that. However, until America can begin to what I call break the cycle and dealing with solutions and, but dealing with issues like we're dealing with in Ferguson, we're going to continue to have the same revolving cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So until we gain a new mindset, a new perception, a new concept, and become educated on how to deal with these things, we'll continue to have these type of results.
Yeah.
And so that city is truthfully and rightfully upset, disappointed, angry. Mm-hmm. We do realize that. We won't take that from them. But not just for the city of Ferguson. It goes for every city, every community, and every state, the nation. That we have to gain a new mindset and begin to become educated on dealing with these certain things that we're dealing with. Because violence, in the end, there's no win.
No.
You know, and even if you win, there's still a loss behind
somebody.
That win.
Yeah.
You know? And so we have to find a better solution and become educated. I really, really want to drive home becoming educated on dealing with these certain issues.
Yeah, exactly. And the person who's speaking right now is Tony Edmonds. He is an advocate where it comes to violence. Now, this is my thing about the Ferguson. Everyone is out. No one is working. No one is working, and no one is going to school. They're just out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just hanging out for a week, just hanging out.
Nothing.
I know the grievance is there. Right. I can understand that. But everybody's hanging. There's no like, okay, well, we need to get these people back to work, or everybody needs to start back working because you still got to pay your bills.
No sense of urgency.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Or these, you know, or they're going to continue to loot, you know, out of desperation.
Right.
You know, I mean, I haven't heard any type of solution. And one of the main solutions, like you said, Adrian, is that he needs to be charged. I don't know what the holdup is. you know, everyone said it. There were so many cameras that was out there when this young man was laying out on the ground that so many people and so many have went viral that they were recording. And you can hear people in the background. They say he had his hands up. You know, you can hear the conversation before, you know, anything, you know, was sent to the public. Right. So we kind of know what happened. You know, he needs to be charged.
Right. Also, too, I'm sorry. I seen an article where that it spoke about how many people in that city itself has warrants. I think they did an average or percentage. Like, so it was so many warrants in that city that they averaged it that every household had a minimum of 3 warrants. So if you got a lot of warrants and people going to jail, it's kind of hard for them to get a job. So they keep these people bound with these type of things above their head. So even if it was jobs, they probably can't get them. Who's going to get them? The police officer's sons and all that stuff like that. Right. So it's kind of like that city is built to keep people at a low level.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Keep them at a slave state. Right. Really. You know what I mean? And they make the most money with these warrants and fines. I think they make like 2 point something million a year on fines.
That's probably where they make their money from.
Yeah.
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 And that is so true, and that's very unfortunate. However, being realistic about this, in my own opinion, I truly believe that it's not all the police faults.
Yeah.
It's also our faults.
True.
Our faults as black people.
Yeah.
And like you said, having warrants. Well, what resulted to that individual getting these warrants.
True.
So again, it still boils back down to deeper rooted issues and solutions that we have to really conquer in order to begin to really, really surface these things and take care of these things. As you said again, the warrants those just didn't come about on their own.
True. Right.
So whether they were rightfully given
or
wrongfully given, the warrants are there.
And to go to say, well, we'll just ask you this, like he was saying, when we got to get people into office, they can't participate.
Right.
Period. Basically.
Right. And that's the way they want it to be.
You understand what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? I hate to use a certain word and certain things, but, you know, it's almost sort of like a genocide. You know what I'm saying?
A city of press.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Basically.
It is. I agree.
But then
that.
I have my question is, you know, who's ultimately responsible for that? We talked a couple of weeks ago about it takes a village, and I think that as the villagers, we've forgotten that we have to be first accountable to our own homes and our own families.
Yes. Thank you.
You know, our children, I have 2 sons, 20 and 13, and you know, I always say I don't want to bury my children, but even in relations with police officers and officials, I've seen too many children, even here in Fort Lauderdale, that disrespect the authority figures.
Yeah.
You know, we're not planting the seeds in our children that, you know, respect gets respect and disrespect gets this more disrespect.
Exactly.
There's some fundamentals that are just missing, you know, all around our nation, that if we don't get back to the basics, all the rest of this, who we try to elect and put in office, you know, how many stores, how many jobs we bring to our communities. Mm-hmm. If we're not getting our fundamentals right, then all of that goes to waste anyway, because we have a black president who's been in office second term.
Yeah.
And if we don't turn out for our midterm elections, if we're not conscious of who's in our local government, then he can't even do what he's promised to do for our country, because every step he takes, somebody's like, nope, we're not gonna let you do that. No, we're not gonna let you do this. Because our local elections, which are vital.
Mm-hmm. More important.
Because it doesn't matter who our president is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what matters is who do we have in place to ensure that the issues and the plight of the people is being heard. That's what our local government does.
Well, how do you get to parents that their favorite rapper is Lil Wayne?
Exactly. That's a great question.
Oh, man, that's powerful.
That's
powerful.
That is absolutely a great question.
I mean, now you have a generation of children who have been raised by children.
Yeah.
You know, we've all heard the term babies having babies, and that's what's essentially happened.
Yes.
So now grandparents are now 33.
Right. You know, we have a caller. We have a caller.
Oh, my. Uh-oh. Hello, caller.
Hello.
So,
welcome to the Table Talk Radio Show, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I was just calling to see if there was a different number to listen in live.
No. There's no number you can listen in live on the phone itself, but what you can do, you have a smartphone?
Uh-huh.
All right, cool. Do me a favor. Go to the application store.
Okay.
download Live 365. That's LIVE 365 application. It's free.
Okay.
And once you download that, put Yo Partner in the search bar. That's YOPODNER.
Okay.
And click on that link, and you'll be able to listen live and take it with you to the mall and all that good stuff, okay?
Okay,
my dear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Customer service, sorry.
I see that.
That was good service.
It was excellent service.
but yes, if I can chime in on the last comments that you made there, I highly want to stress and press that we, again, as people, kind of second what you said, it starts from home.
Mm-hmm.
It starts from home. Like you said, no matter what type of president we have, a black president, or what type of officials we have in the city, in the communities, and in these positions, mm-hmm. it all starts from home.
Right.
And so that's where the root cause, in my personal opinion, and not only my personal opinion, but my experience, the root cause starts from home.
Right.
And like you said, many of the mentors or role models are people such as Lil Wayne, even mm-hmm. for the parents.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's not to knock Lil Wayne, but hey, well, where are the values?
Yeah.
So we really have to really begin to step back and look at these things. And, of course, it takes a nation, it takes a village to be able to do this. But someone has to begin to take a stand, the parents, mothers, fathers,
right,
to really begin to make this difference. And especially by me being a black father, I really uphold the standards of fatherhood
mm-hmm.
to be the first one to stand up and to do this. Now, however, I do realize that there are many homes that have been broken,
right,
and single parents home, and moms are raising the children. That was my case as well.
Right.
However, again, we still have to find a way. We have to find a way to bridge the gap,
right,
that's missing between the citizens, that's missing between the law enforcement,
right,
and these actions that we're getting. And many times they're reactions from actions, simply because people, as we talked about yesterday, Tanisha, people just don't know who they are.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, and how we can, you know, break that cycle or change, as you were saying, is by community involvement. And Adrian, I know you all over when it comes to community involvement. The community involvement, when the community say we having this, you should go. It should be a big turnout.
Right. Yes.
You know, when they say that we having our sons doing this or our teenagers doing this, they should be there, because they should be able to hear exactly what's going on, and you'll be able to get some information yourself.
Yes.
You absolutely understand what I'm saying? And that's what it has to do when it comes to, you know, allowing us to be educated what's right. going yes. on in the community. When you go out to vote, every voting that I have done, I've always taken my daughter. I know she can't go behind the thing, but she goes straight to the door, to the point we stand in line together, mm-hmm. you know, to let her know this is very important, and this is what I expect you to do,
right,
you know, when you turn 18, right. 19, and get ready to vote.
Right.
We have to put them in the practice of doing things or seeing things. One of the most important things that they do in school is they have current events. Children don't bring their current events. You know why?
No.
And you know I'm going to get on this, because they don't read.
They don't. Absolutely not.
You know, they don't bring their current events.
You know.
Yeah. Put it in a book, huh?
You know, it's funny you said that. I just was, as you know, our students just went back to school last week.
Yeah.
And remember whenever we would get back the first week of school, everybody would talk about, well, what did you do all summer?
Yes.
And talk about all your different things you did.
Yes.
And I was just thinking, and I have two girls, 11 and 13, both in middle school, and I was like, you know what? The kids don't even need to do that anymore, because they followed each other all summer on Instagram.
Right.
So they know what everybody's done, you know, all summer. So I'm like, how do they have these experiences and share and do reports and what have you? And it's like, oh, I already know you went to Disney World 4 times. I already know your family went to Jamaica. I already know what you did this summer, because everything is now on social media,
right,
which ultimately also has hurt their grammatical skills as well, which is a whole nother question.
Oh, my God. I want us to take that back. Want us to take that back where we get into – I was at a meeting, and we was trying to do a marketing, how to put something out. And so the person said, well, Tanisha, we'll just put it in the paper. And I said to them, nobody reads the paper.
Yeah.
And it was sad that I actually, that came out of my mouth.
Yeah. Right.
Because I said, well, our best bet is to put it on, you know, a couple sites or whatever. But I was like, no one's reading the paper.
Nope.
No one, I mean, no one's reading the paper.
And you know what also I find to be a deficit? You know, I heard we mentioned Lil Wayne a couple of times. He has an amazing nonprofit organization that's based in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our local, even celebrities,
they do an amazing write-off.
Yeah. Well, yes. But the person that runs the organization, you know, that's in his name, yeah. They do amazing work there. And what I'm saying that to say that a lot of our local celebrities, since clearly a lot of us are paying attention to what the celebrities are doing,
yeah.
A lot of them are out here giving back. I know Trick Daddy every year, Christmas time, he does this big thing for the kids in the city.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the same token, like, every little bit does count.
Yeah.
So for us even having this forum and having a voice in the mm-hmm. community, it is our responsibility. You know, it's not just a privilege to be. We come on the air, we have a great time, and that's good. But it is important that we also emphasize, again, the fundamentals. How do we get back to you have it, you giving something back?
Mm-hmm.
Let the people know what it is that you're doing. Help encourage them to become involved, because fortunately we have to use what we have to get what we want.
Yes.
And if Lil Wayne has their ear, if Trick Daddy has their ear, if Trina has their ear, then these people should be the voice, because you have an audience and they're paying attention. They hear you. So if you get up and you're doing something, our ministers in our you know, our churches, we have some mega churches around here between Dade and Broward County. If our churches get involved, I know Tanisha's very involved in her church, Hopewell Missionary Baptist Church.
The Hope.
Hopewell, you know. And, you know, as well as myself with Koinonia Worship Center, when you're in a church that has the influence, there's so many ministries that are out there. And there are so many ministries within your church that actually give back to your community.
Mm-hmm.
And every little thing we do, it absolutely counts. Our children are watching.
Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, and I deal with all the ministries at the church, the thing about it is the community only come out when there's something. If I'm going to give you a book bag for free, then you'll come.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But if I'm going to tell you that we're going to have a reading session, you're not going to come.
Right.
Last year, I was so frustrated, and I told the young lady this year, I said, I need you to have your date as to when we're going to start up our tutoring. You know, I need it now. You know what I'm saying? We had one day, I'd like to do spot checks. We had one day more teachers there than we had students.
Wow.
And
wow.
I got on Facebook, and I even told them, I said, listen, we're in a community that all of these elementary schools are F schools. This should be packed. There's no reason why there's only 5 kids in here.
I know why.
Go ahead, honey.
Because they're playing Optimist football.
Hello, I was just about to say that.
Oh, yeah. We can leave here. We can leave here and go to Lottie
Hill
Park.
And be committed to playing that.
Yeah. Every day of the week, their parents will take them to practice Monday through Friday and spend the full day Saturday at the park.
Yeah. Full day. And on Sundays now, I hear.
Yeah. So I get it. It's a challenge. It's a challenge I have with my mentoring program and some of the programs that I work with. Yeah.
You got Monday night football now.
Wow.
We compete against Optimist football, and unfortunately, you know, I've had conversations with those young men and those girls, the cheerleaders or whatever, and you know, I'm not knocking athletics and sports because it does play a positive role.
Right.
But for me growing up, my dad worked for Parks and Recreation. My dad ran sports programs my entire life until he retired from the city.
Mm.
But one thing we knew in my household was if your grades weren't right,
can't play.
You can't play. Mm-hmm. Can't play nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and the parents don't have that same resolve today. You know, I talk to these kids making straight F's and D's.
Yeah.
Right.
But the parents will go buy them sneakers, they'll buy them pads, they'll have them out there on that football field and will not bring them to free tutoring.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
And that's real.
Yes. And that is so true. I think it's all about finding that balance.
Right.
Basically what you're saying there. Because, again, the youth league football and things of that nature and sports, those are great tools.
They are.
Those are way outs many
right.
times.
Yeah.
I played sports growing up myself in the city of Miami. And presently, I am a volunteer assistant football coach out in Lauder Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, being able to be involved with something of that nature, it's a great thing. But it still boils back down to what you just said, the home.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the parents don't find the balance in that, and they just focus more on the sports and forget the education, then we still lost.
Yep. But you said it. A lot of parents do see it as a way out.
Yeah.
So if you come from a low-income family, and you know I talk to kids every day, and you ask them the age-old question, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's either a rapper or a footballer, basketball player. Mm-hmm. Usually doesn't go any further than that. So if their parents see their only way out being sports, so then the kids see their only way out as being sports. So they'll sacrifice their education in hopes that they'll make it to the NFL or the NBA.
And something that happened on last year. My daughter, she's a gifted student through Broward County.
Bragging.
Yes. I have to say Broward County because you have to be tested through them. So the teacher called me and she said, well, I have a concern. I said, okay, what's the concern? She said, well, I asked Spirit what would she like to be when she grow up, and she said a basketball player. So this phone was silent for a minute. I said, well, you know what, Spirit is 9, she's 10 now. I said, she's 9, those things will change. I said, that's because that's her interest right now.
They will.
I said, so we don't have to be concerned that her focus would be just being a basketball player.
Yeah.
Now, but then I told her, I said, but she still can be a basketball player and be a doctor too or whatever.
Right.
You know, I did let her know that. I don't want to tell her, well, don't focus on that, or, you know, don't, you know, put your time into that, because I would want you to have some type of activity. But it was funny because she was like, she said that she wanted to be a basketball player. And it was like the worst thing that she had said to her ears.
You know, but for our kids, our kids need exposure and options.
Yeah.
Exposure. Yes.
And unfortunately, you know, and all in the community, they're not really exposed. You know, we have kids who grew up who never had a professional in their family, never knew anyone in their family went to college.
Yes.
There are no doctors or lawyers or scientists or engineers in the family. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the women don't even go to work.
Yeah.
They home and collect the check. And I know we're just talking about issues. Maybe we'll find some solutions.
Speak on.
No, you know, but it's just what they see. It's the environment. No harm, no foul, but it's just their environment. So through our program, through Lead Nation, through my mentoring program, a lot of what we do is exposure. So we bring people who have a vast array of careers and take them out to experience different things so that they know. You know, yeah, I can't be a football or basketball player. You know, if I'm gifted in that area, then we're going to adopt some Malcolm Gladwell, and we're going to talk about the 10,000-hour rule. So if you're really good, then we're going to see if you're really good. You just, you know, because it's one thing to play in your community being the best boy on the court.
Right.
But it's another thing to play in organized sports, because it's the organized sports and being able to excel in an organized sport that's going to take you to the NBA or NFL. But that's another question.
Right.
But have you ever seen that person, like, when you expose them to something they never seen before? You ever seen that light bulb go off? Be like, they be looking at
every
like,
time.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. And I work my day job in addition to all the other jobs I have. I work for the University of Miami Hospital. I work in Sylvester Cancer Center.
Okay.
So I work with doctors and nurses and ARMPs and DMPs and all of these medical professionals. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the exposure and a lot of what I try to do is expose students to STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to create opportunities where they can hang out with doctors. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, really can understand that, man, I really can be a physical therapist, or I can be or if I'm really interested in sports and I love sports, go become an orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, go learn about orthopedics in the body and exercise physiology. One of the guys who just graduated out of our program, one of our seniors, Jonathan Samuel, in case he's listening, he's doing his first 2 years at Broward College. He's always been very athletic, lift weights and into all of that for years. And we just had a conversation last night talking about, okay, yeah, you're going to go to Broward College, but what's next? Let's now, you're starting there now, but let's talk about the what's next. And he wants to become an exercise physiologist. I can't even say it. Because he's interested, he's athletic, and he has a passion for helping other people get in shape. That's at 18 already to be healthy.
That is
lives.
Wonderful.
So, awesome. But that comes from exposure. He grew up in West Park, right around the corner from Koinonia.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're not careful, you can live in a bubble and you don't get exposure. So,
but
that's,
you know, a lot of, I grew up in a household, my grandparents raised me for the most part.
What?
My grandfather did not get out of eighth grade. You know, he went to seventh grade, and mm-hmm. that was it. He had to work.
Okay.
You know, both of my grandparents, they sharecropped. You know, they worked. Yep. You know, I got the story about walking 10 miles up a hill both ways, no shoes on, snow mm-hmm. popping out the ground. You know, I heard all that growing up. So although my grandmother did finish her education, she became a school teacher. But even when a parent doesn't have it, doesn't mean we shouldn't enforce it.
Right.
You know, we should still encourage our children to do better than whatever it is that we did. You know, here's how far I got, and here's my set of reasoning. My grandfather was brilliant for a man who did not graduate high school. He taught me math, yeah. you know, which is still probably my worst subject ever.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, the fundamentals can be there, yeah. even if all the education and the accolades and the titles don't exist. Because
right.
we have parents out here who have those titles and accolades and are still not committed to their children.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you would think that parents with money and influence kids would not be in the amount of trouble that they're in. But these same kids wind up on drugs. These same kids wind up dropouts. Yeah. But because their parents have the money and uh-huh. the influence, they can throw yeah. a sheet over it real easy.
And right. the thing about that is, I speak to a lot of parents about that stuff, because a lot of those parents are so focused on giving the kids what they didn't have, and they Jesus. Forget to give them what they did have.
Right. Wow. Exactly.
Respect, honor. You didn't do drugs. You came home when the lights on the street was on.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You don't spend at nobody's house if your mama don't know them.
Mm.
I'm talking about all those little simple rules like that yes. kept us out of trouble.
Sure did.
And I don't understand why they don't focus on that. These same parents you're talking about
exactly.
and I'm talking about went through that stuff.
Exactly.
And you forget to give your kids that.
Yeah, we couldn't sit in the living room when adults were talking. You know, you had to find did that. That was the one and only TV in our house, that floor console.
Yeah.
But if my grandmother had company, you disappeared.
Yes.
I don't care what was coming on the TV. You know, there were fundamentals in that household that no amount of money can replace.
Yeah, right. Prayer meetings at our house.
Twice a week.
We ain't had no prayer meetings.
Tony, you had something to say? Before we go to a break, go ahead.
That's all good stuff. But I was going to talk more about, we were talking about the parents in the sports.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to say, especially if kids are listening, as well as to the parents, that we need to be realistic about the sports and things of that nature, and becoming the next LeBron James and the next Jay-Z and all
Speak
these things.
On it.
We need to be realistic about this thing. I did a research,
mm-hmm.
and out of the 100,000 high school football players
mm-hmm.
that are playing high school ball and that perhaps graduates, only about 2% would actually make it to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And so that we need to understand that.
Yeah.
And we need to let our kids know that.
Yeah.
And as a coach, I always tell my kids that, hey, use this for what it is. Use this for to allow you to be a better young man in school and at home. And one day, a man that would actually have his own family. But if you so happen to have the skills, the talent and that type thing to go to the next level and on to the next level, well, so be that.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be realistic about it. Also, my son is a rapper,
mm-hmm.
and he's been doing it now for about 11 years. But one thing I told him to always keep in mind, that dreams are good, but they're not promised. And you also need to realize that you have a better chance at being a neurosurgeon than, again, being the next Jay-Z.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
However, don't allow that to discourage you.
Yeah,
if that's
right,
your passion, if that's your dream, go mm-hmm. get it.
Go get it.
Yeah.
But
passion feeds purpose.
Be realistic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Then, I'm sorry. Well, I got a dog. He said some good. Like,
go ahead.
Even in that, say he want to play sports or be mm-hmm. a rapper, he don't have to be the exact rapper. He could be the A&R of that rapper. He could be the executive that pushed that rapper.
Right.
Or in football, he could be the therapist.
Thank you.
He can do anything around that. A lot of people just get so focused on, I
want to
play football.
That's one
it.
Thing.
Yeah, right. That one thing, and that's
it.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So much.
Okay. And guys, if you have anything to say, if you want to chime in on the conversation, you can always give us a call. The number here is 954-769-1562. This is Table Talk with Tanisha Simpkin and Shakisha Reed.
All right, we'll be back.
To myself that I'm crazy over you. Now my heart beats for two. To get just enough to let you know. Girl, you got to feel it in your soul. I know what to do. So baby, keep my heart to you. My Valentine. Through and through a thousand times. It feels so true. Baby, I give my heart to you, my Valentine.
candies and teddy bears, dozen roses on the bed, expressing love with a touch to the ocean. What I sweat, couples notice that we next. The first thing on my mind when I wake up, and the last one when I go to bed. And when I sleep, I dream about your woman. Hands wrapped around you as we lay. I got this thing about your stomach. It's some things I've been wondering. Cause we both know that you could leave me and be set. It'd be easy, I bet. But somehow you look into my eyes and notice many things that I don't see inside myself. I believe that's why I felt something special when I met you. Compared to other girls, they ease in and out my head. If you leave me, I'll be dead. And you know this ain't no routine line. Just so you can let me ease inside your legs. Give me peace when nothing's said. So how about later this evening when we in bed? Lay next to me and reflect.
Welcome back to the Table Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Tanisha Simpkins.
And I'm your co-host, Shakisha Coach Keish Reed.
And we just want to let you guys know this is just a candid conversation. We have been talking earlier with Adrian Friedman and also with Tony Edmonds, and we thank them for being here. We're going to shift it a little bit. You guys know we keep it real. We get with the hot topics.
Yes.
Or as we call what's trending. And so many things have been trending.
Yes.
I mean, it's just hard to keep up. Our list gets so long and long, we have to shorten
just
it.
Just shorten it, right?
And we're thinking, which one is important? But all of them, like, foolishness, bro. But we're going to talk about the foolishness anyway.
Yes.
Or the ratchetness anyway. Yeah. We're going to start off with, I'm going to start off with the ALS Ice Challenge.
Okay.
We're not going to talk long about it. I think it's a wonderful job. And if you look on our page, the Table Talk Radio Show on Facebook, put in Table Talk Radio, you'll see my Ice Challenge and also Shakisha's Ice Challenge.
Yes.
And our donation, we donated to ALS, and I'm also donating to the Sickle Cell Foundation as a carrier.
A wet t-shirt contest.
Yeah. Keisha was a wet t-shirt. When you said that, that's why I put on a gray shirt.
Okay. Keisha, my shirt was gray.
And a couple other people
my
that
shirt
didn't know had on white shirts.
No, my shirt was gray.
Nah, baby, you can see
and
that.
You had on a purple bra.
Yeah, honey. I said Keisha got a wet t-shirt, but I didn't want to put it under there. Okay, let me explain.
What happened was, you know, Tanisha, in our last session, you know, we had a...
Look how she set up.
It's a man's world was last week, right?
Babies. Yeah.
So after the show last week, Tanisha done got proposed to...
All this
boyfriend in the making type stuff, right? Ain't nobody send me nothing in my inbox.
Blast.
Nobody. So I said, well, when we gonna do this ice challenge, I mean, maybe I need to amp it up a little bit, put this here shirt on, and when it gets wet, maybe I get a proposal or two in my inbox. Yeah, I'm hating and I'm jealous.
That shirt wrapped around her. I was like,
water was so cold, I lost my mind.
I
want to make you
see I watched this video 15 times.
Oh, I'm about to watch it as soon as we wrap.
I got to mine was my legs. I didn't know. I had on a t-shirt. And
I didn't know you had nothing under the
long.
Shirt. I did not know you had nothing under.
The
I said somebody
long,
too.
And no. Some people sent me some it looked like very you, inappropriate things.
It didn't look like you had on anything under the shirt.
So I was like, should I take it down?
What? Take the shirt off?
No. Girl,
the video,
take the video down.
No, leave it, girl. Leave it up there. Take your but it did look like you didn't have on nothing under it.
I said, they saw me sitting in the chair with shorts on. But when I got up, the shirt was long, so it equaled out to where the shorts. Well, I guess the shorts probably were short, maybe. I don't know.
You don't know if they were short?
Well, my legs are short, so.
So was your shorts, but your shorts were shorter.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Well, I think it was just wet.
That hallelujah outfit didn't work at all.
We.
So, as we were saying about the ALS challenge, I mean, it was actually a lot of fun, and and it was an education, actually. Again, this show today is about awareness, and a lot of people were unaware of ALS,
exactly.
And although it is a 93% that it affects Caucasians, there are someone I know recently lost his aunt to ALS, and he's black. So, I think what the great part is building awareness around an issue, a topic,
or
any disease,
because
or anything.
When it first started out, it wasn't just ALS.
Right.
It was whatever your cause was. So that's why I switched it up, because I know that, you know, sickle cell affects a lot of different people that I know. I mean, just recently, one of the young girls just got out of the hospital. So I felt the need that let me put the awareness for that. And I know a lot of people like, well, why y'all doing ALS? Nobody's doing diabetes. Nobody's doing sickle cell.
There's so much awareness around all of those conditions already. I promise you half the people on my friends list had never heard of ALS.
Yeah.
Right. Or better known as
Lou Gehrig's disease. Yeah.
But to watch it happen, it is a horrible condition to which there is no cure.
Thank you
and
for
there's
explaining
absolutely,
it.
I had to do my part.
Yeah.
Because, I saw a lot of people posting about, well, nobody doesn't even know. As a matter of fact.
It was me.
Jimmy. He had a video not with Jimmy. Himself up there saying, you going to do the ALS challenge?
Child,
did you see that? It was the cutest thing. So, again, awareness. So, I had a great time with it, and we made our donation. So,
yes,
there you
Lord,
have
it.
We're going to call some people out. I ain't going to say who.
Don't call me out. But I think the good part
call
is the awareness.
You called JV out?
Yes,
we sure did.
I didn't hear my name.
Your name is
you
on,
heard it now.
If you look at the
did
post.
Did you say my governmental name, or
if
did you
Jimmy
say
Baldwin.
Your
if you,
ha.
Look, if you look at the post, I even tagged you in it. So
he got tagged. Trust me.
No,
he
didn't tag me.
You
tagged me.
Well, we should do it right when we wrap the show.
Hey, you know what? I got like a small got you, cup Jimmy. Of ice over there.
That water really was cold.
It really was cold.
And Keisha's son did the water. And he poured it so slow. I'm like, why are you pouring it so slow? It was like slow. I mean, it was cold.
Suffer, huh?
Yeah, it was really cold. It was really cold.
Long suffering.
Yeah. But, you know, we want to thank you guys for doing the challenge.
Thank you.
So we have another hot topic. And the hot topic is D-Wade, ex-wife in foreclosure.
Yes. I really wanted to talk about this. I really did.
Okay.
Because I think I took
Who team you on? Let me ask that
Dwayne
question before
Wade.
We start. Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. Here's my reasoning. I think it's unhealthy for her to remain emotionally and like mentally and financially in this relationship with him. They have divorced. Mm-hmm. She got a settlement of $5,000.
$5 million.
I'm sorry. $5 million. He corrected me fast.
What?
$5 million settlement, and she gets $25,000 a month in alimony. So now let's just do the math. If you're living in a house and the mortgage is $60,000 a month, you know you can't afford that. She could have put the house up for sale, moved into a wonderful condominium out there on South Beach with a great view.
She's in Chicago.
Within, or wherever she is, within her means. I think that it's important for her mental and emotional health. It's time to move on, sis. Yes, he moved on with somebody else. I don't know what your status is in your relationships, but you cannot remain emotionally in this relationship with him and you guys are no longer together. I don't think he should bail her out financially every time she hits a bump in the road. The relationship is over. And it is time to move out and move on.
I think the government is saying that to a lot of these girls in Florida.
So you're saying because of this attachment that she's still holding on to.
Exactly.
With Wade.
Exactly. I think that the house, because that's the house they once lived in, that she's still in it. She's still, you know, when you're in
mentally.
That space, you're mentally
psychologically.
Still in, exactly, right. In the relationship, which is over. So I think for her own personal growth. And I'm sorry, $25,000 a month ain't nothing to shake a stick at. You know, I don't make that kind of money, but I could show her what to do with it if she want to, you know, call me, girl. I got you. 786-766-1123. I'll help you out. But she, it's time for her emotionally and mentally, mm-hmm. for her own well-being. It's time to bring this whole chapter of her life mm-hmm. to a close.
That's $300,000 a year.
And you can't find a place to stay? You know, so again, I think it's bigger than the money. It's yeah. more of her emotional attachment to him that she's not ready to let go of.
Yeah, you might be right.
I think that I'm not team either one, because they shouldn't have linked these two together. You know, like you said, they're divorced. She has her money. Her foreclosure is her business.
I agree.
You know, it has nothing to do with Wade, as he's supposed to step in and help her out, because she get equal amount of funds and she doesn't have custody of the kids. He does primarily. So the most part about it is about, you know, yourself and having somewhere for them. They say, oh, she got to have somewhere for them to stay. Okay, like you said, but find a condo. You know, they'll
That's
be okay.
Mm-hmm.
They just want your company anyway. You know what I'm saying? Most kids. So I don't think they should have put those two together. I mean, that's his ex. I mean,
it's always going to be that way, because she's the ex-wife of, like, nobody don't care if I divorce Leroy. No, nobody cares if me and Leroy get divorced.
I don't even know who
Leroy
sure
is.
Don't.
You know? But because of who she is, and, you know, because of who he is, basically, it's going to always be Dwayne Wade's ex-wife. It's
yeah.
going to always be that. That's why I think, like, these shows, Hollywood exes, like, that's why it makes no sense to me. Because, sis, when do you move on? Like, be hurt. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
We've all been hurt at some point in time. But come on, it comes a point where you have to just put a pin in it. It's time to move on.
Yeah. When it comes to those exes shows that you're talking about, a lot of that stuff is part of the divorce settlement.
That they get to be on the show?
They get to be on the show, and that's part of that alimony. That's how they're going to get paid. So a lot of that stuff comes through like that. Now, when it comes to Dwayne Wade and a situation where she need to pay attention to, like, if you're asking me to help you out, you're not even putting me in a bad position. Because if I help you out, my current old lady going to be pissed.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, she's going to
be like. But she don't care about that.
Who?
Gabrielle? Savon don't care if Gabrielle pissed or not.
Exactly. But that's the reason why she doing it.
Of course.
She want to cause ripples in the water and stuff like that. And that's not. I think that's what she really trying to do. She just don't want him to be happy, period. Mm. So.
Right.
And two, I don't even like Gabrielle Union.
I don't either. I'm glad you said it. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to seem like a hater.
Why not?
Huh? Well, you know, I'll gladly share why I don't care for her. Because I feel like she got into a relationship with somebody who was still married. And that's not my issue with her. My issue is that there's an appropriateness to how you function in those situations. The fact that she wanted to be at the games and it had to be a big old to-do and, you know, all of this public displays of affection at a time when he was transitioning between getting out of a marriage and getting into a relationship.
Yeah.
I thought that was very tacky on her behalf.
Mm.
And the fact that her career suffered because of it, I think, was fair, because her demographic is women my age.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of us have been through marriages that, you know, ended. And, you know, you have to move on, but you need it as seamless as possible. And I think that it was inappropriate of her. My thing is, I've always been told, however you started is how you ended. So when it's her turn to sit in that seat,
she already in it.
Then how exactly no one likes how it feels when it comes back around to hit them. She could have dated him. They could have been in love and all of that. But I think she was inappropriate in her handling of the relationship, knowing he was still married to Savannah.
What do you guys think?
Good point.
Two men
here.
I think she.
What'd you say?
She.
What'd you say, Adrian? Oh,
Gabrielle Union was a D-lister until she got back with Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, she still looked like a C.
And her TV show Mary Jane basically is living out her life.
I didn't see it.
I did meet her before, and I thought she was a sweet girl, sweet as pie. That's all I know.
Until she get drunk.
Well, when I'm
who?
When I met her.
Oh Lord, don't get drunk.
I did buy
folks.
A drink.
Oh, okay.
And she took it and drank it.
Drank it. It's free.
So let me ask this: do we think the same situation? We got Kevin Hart proposing to his fiance on the night of the
premiere of their show.
Of the show, which was absolutely boring on it. And you know, everybody's upset with him saying he was wrong.
No, it was her birthday, so it was a special day for her.
Yeah.
So I did at least hear about that. So they're saying, oh, he could have done it the day before, the day after, but that's her birthday.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Why I got to satisfy y'all,
Tony?
This is the person who I'm with.
Well, honestly, I really can't speak much on that because I didn't catch that.
You didn't catch it?
No, I didn't see that. So.
So, you know, my thing is this. If someone is still in love with you,
just listen to the scenario.
There's never going to be a good time before, you know, like me and JB in a relationship, and then we end our relationship.
Tell him with your problem.
And then, then JB starts dating Tanisha.
Oh my.
And he decides to, you know, him and Tanisha go to that next level. He decides to propose. It doesn't matter what day of the year it is. It could be my birthday, your birthday, Jesus' birthday. I'm going to still have a problem with it if I'm still emotionally.
And she is.
This relationship with JB.
Yeah.
So I don't think that him proposing, it was his now fiance's birthday. His ex-wife is premiered in whatever Exes. Was it Hollywood Exes?
Atlanta
Exes. It was her premiere night for her show to launch, and it was his fiance's birthday. So he decided to propose to his fiance on her birthday. That just clashed with the fact that Atlanta Exes was premiering that night, and his ex-wife was part of the cast.
And he took the shine. I mean, like, who cares?
And they felt some type of way about that.
Well, this is my thing. So every person that you date, I got to think about the last person. I got to keep a mental note. Well, it's her birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such and such. You know, if I go take the kids, well, I can't take the kids because this is the day we met.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
and
like,
her
that's
grandmama
crazy.
Died on this August, day. This day.
So I
August.
Can't, you know, do this you on know, that. Please.
I don't know. I think it depends on the nature of your relationship to a certain degree. So if Kevin, I don't know his ex-wife's name.
Tori.
I don't know.
Tori. Maybe if they had a different kind of relationship, then maybe it would have mattered more. Because then Kevin probably would have been more in tune to the fact this is a big night for Tori.
Yeah.
But he probably could care less because that's probably the nature of their relationship. So I think it just depends on how close the two exes are will depend on how much they take into account things going
well,
on
let me ask you this.
Each other's personal life, maybe.
Sometimes you are done with a situation with someone and you have me and you, we break up.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, you know what, Keisha, that was great. I'm moving on. I want you to be happy. Go be happy. But I'm still mad. So,
well,
you know.
Well, you going to be if I break up with you.
You just said.
So, what I'm saying that to say this. If both people are not on the same page, it never goes
so
well.
It's the nature of the relationship.
Yeah, in that case, it's definitely going to be a big mess.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not on the same page, but. As you said earlier, it has to come a point in time where, you have to let go. You know, you have to move on and let bygones be bygones.
You can't be telling people.
And of course, and I realize that doesn't happen overnight all the
time.
No,
it doesn't.
It doesn't, you know.
It doesn't.
I mean.
Well, her main thing is, and we'll move on, is that I help them start it, you know.
And that's what it is.
That's
the same thing with Savon, too.
Yeah,
you
that's
know, because
all it
Savon
is.
Was with him from high school.
Okay.
Tori was with Kevin when he was
a shoe man.
Selling shoes
selling
at
shoes.
Rack Room or somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think, you know,
and
when
she's
you
a sketch artist, so she helped him with his material.
So they both, you know, so yeah.
So that's that feeling of I help you start.
They made an investment.
Right.
Into who these men.
But don't you do that in
your face.
But
so
I'm making
an
a face.
Into who these men became. It sounds like I'm on the list. I'm done.
Because,
it sounds like I'm on a girl's side.
Because what I'm saying is, if you're in your relationship, no matter who you're with, you're invested in that person at that time. So does it make a difference if I was with you?
Nah, but it's different if y'all are both po and you're still po. But it's different when we even buying the sausages in the beginning and I'm working and you trying to figure your life out. Now you making $20, $30 million a year in my house in foreclosure. It's a difference.
Well, put like you said, nobody knows a relationship during that come up.
Right.
Yeah. Now, put like you said, let's just say like if they was coming up and she was writing sketch all just that another and they get into an argument in front of people. I'm the one who writing this, that, and other. You wouldn't be S if I wasn't doing S. So we don't know the type of relationship these women or how they was acting on that come up.
Right. Or are we just riding out on a sense of entitlement?
Yeah.
You know, I'm with you. So now it doesn't matter how I talk to you. It doesn't matter how, because I was with you and you didn't have nothing. So now you owe me.
Negro.
Like, I mean, come on. I don't, like I always say, I don't want to be the wound up with girl. I also don't want you to stay out of some weird sense of she was here when nobody else was here. If you don't want me for Keisha with all my little broken pieces and my attitude problem, if you don't want that, honey,
I
promise you, my Keisha Dabra is what I call it. It's not abracadabra. Keisha Dabra, my stuff is broken.
That's why I keep moving my seat.
But
over.
It's broken right now, Adrian. It doesn't work. Oh, I figured that out.
But all the
yes,
all
it do work.
It's a little dysfunctional.
But all the women that I know,
but
all the women that I know that were good to their men, just say like during they come up, even if they not together, that man still goes back and
look out for them. Yes,
that man still goes back and help them. So like, but if you a butthead,
right?
He can care less.
Yeah, he can care less.
So bottom line is they both need to wisen up so they can keep reaping some benefits of the initial investment.
Exactly.
Bam, next hot topic.
without the drama, right?
Yeah, without the drama, exactly.
The other hot topic is, we're going to do this before we get going to who we have in the studio, is there was actually a hot topic on your post.
All my posts.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. JB, I don't know if JB accepted any new friendships or anything like that. but you can just look at it. It's your partner, Y-O space, P-O-D-N-E-R. Are you accepting friends?
Of course I'm accepting friends.
If he they loves friends.
Especially female.
Female. I was just about to say that
he loves friends.
With purple bra.
The white t-shirt comes in. So he had something on there, and I didn't say much. It was a scenario, actually, where I do have the men who are here, and the scenario was if you caught your teenage boy, 13, 14, looking at pornographic on his phone, you talk to him, you have it, you know, figure you have it settled, but then you went into the, you told the son that, you know, I'm not going to tell your mom, you know, this is between us, but then you did go in there and tell your wife, hey, Lil John was in there looking at porno, I'm just letting you know, so, you know. That was it. But my response was, I guess he told her, you know, so that he wouldn't be embarrassed if she did catch him. A lot of the women, a lot of the viewers said that leave it alone.
Yeah. Pretty much. Let me explain.
Go ahead.
You can explain half of it.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. The guy caught the son watching porn on the cell phone.
Yeah.
So the guy pulls his boy to the side. They have a conversation. Him and the boy has a great relationship.
Okay.
Son and father relationship. Now, he tells the son, like, look, don't let your mama catch you watching this stuff, all right? This is between me and you. So, therefore, but the father still tells the mom just to keep her in the loop.
Right.
All right? But now the mom wants to confront the son.
But I didn't know that he said he can continue to watch it.
No, he didn't say. Did I say continue to watch it? I never said one. Do you hear that? You hear what she just added?
Your mama catch
you. Flipping the script.
Yeah, he flipping the script. But he basically said that, look, you shouldn't be watching it. Definitely don't let your mama catch you watching this stuff.
Right.
So without involving the mom, you know what I'm saying? You just say, look, this just between us. This ain't got to go no further. You just, you know, I don't want to see you do it no more. But
just wash your hands.
Yeah, him and the son had an agreement. Exactly. Him and his son had an agreement. But the father still went and told the mom just to keep her in the loop.
Right.
I think that's messed up.
I do too.
I don't think the father
shouldn't have never said anything.
Shouldn't have said anything to the mother unless when he talked to his son that he'd have told his son, hey, son, hey, this is not what you should be doing.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to talk to your mom about it as well.
Yeah.
You know, so that's broken trust.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can't do that because two things. You're breaking the trust, and also you're setting that type of example before your child.
Yeah.
That, hey, I can say this and go do that.
Oh.
Now the mom, see, the thing
no
about
one
it
said
is
that on the comment.
The mom, well, the son doesn't know he told the mom. Mm-hmm. Now the mom wants to go, you know, say something to the boy, but she knows she can't because
it's killing on the inside.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So and with some women they can't hold water.
Yeah.
Mom better hold that water.
Yeah, she better hold that water.
Yeah, mom need to hold that, but dad, you know, that's on him. So if mom doesn't hold it,
it's on him.
And that trust is broken for sure. You know,
dad got a man up to that.
Was on a trip on a summer trip with my mentees last summer we went to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And I had all the guys in the room, middle and high school guys. And y'all know I'm professionally ratchet.
Yeah,
Nothing surprises me. You know, I'm not that guy. I don't walk around with purple-colored glasses on or whatever that expression is. You know, I know kids getting it in this day, today. Yeah. And I know that. So I don't try to make, like, it's not happening like a lot of these parents do.
Right.
So I had them all in the hotel room late at night, fed them real good. I said, let's have a talk. Let's talk about some stuff. And I asked all of them, how many of them look at pornography? Every single one of them said they do on their cell phones.
Wow.
So, you know, what am I going to do as your mentor, as someone you trust? Mm-hmm. You know, and they all know that I'm not going to go back and tell their parents, you know, but they all watch it. Mm-hmm. So I talk to them about being responsible and understanding, you know, that there can be negative ramifications from viewing too much pornography.
Exactly.
But it's also a rite of passage. We all did. We just had to go sneak VHS tapes from our older brothers and uncles and try to sneak them in the VCR. Mm-hmm. Now they can just watch them on their cell phones. It's just easier access.
Yeah.
But it's always happened. Mm-hmm. So I'm not that guy that's going to walk around acting like, oh, my God, you know, I can't believe they're watching pornography when they having sex in elementary school.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they have to learn it from somewhere.
Right. Right.
You know, so I think the bigger thing is, we know we've already talked about the trust issue, but I think when you talk about fathers and sons or just young men, you know, watching pornography, we just need to teach all our kids how to be responsible and understand, you know, the ramifications, you know, good and bad or whatever that can come from it.
Yes.
How to make good decisions and understand how now I'm watching this man and woman engage in sexual intercourse.
Yes.
What does that mean about you and your girlfriend, or how do you see women?
Your mind.
I like
you
that.
Know,
I like
what
that.
Is now, what are you thinking about other girls?
I like that.
You know, now that you're watching the pornography. I think that's the bigger question. So, yeah, mom need to keep her mouth shut.
Yeah.
And dad need to have some more conversation with our young man, with his son, and make sure he have hand sanitizer.
And one more thing. Mm-hmm. I think it also a question, do the women need to know everything?
Nope.
Because, you know what I mean? Like, and if she found out without that, you know what I mean? If she found out that they had that conversation and she was left out, it's going to be ramification between me and my wife now because I didn't tell her.
And there are things that mothers and daughters talk about.
Exactly.
That
yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah.
I have two daughters, and there are some things my daughters talk about with their mom that I'd rather not know. Don't tell me.
Yeah.
Right, and I feel like, you know, being a mom, I was, you know, being a single mom and having two sons, I would have been delighted not to find the porn. You know, I'd have been happy to not see the picture on your phone of your man parts, you know, and I pick up the phone and call their dad and say, hey, listen, this is what I saw. I don't want to have this conversation. And, you know, my oldest son, his dad was like, okay, I'm going to talk to him, but you want me to be mad when I talk? Or, no, I want you to be you, because this is a conversation between a boy and his father.
Right.
Honestly, as a mom with my son, it's some things that I really don't want to know. When I'm done changing your diapers, I'm done dealing with that stuff right there. You know, I'll buy the condoms if that's what we, you know, need to do. But I just feel like once a child, you know, even though I have nieces, they come to me and they talk about certain things and they may not be comfortable talking to their mom. I'm going to always encourage them to talk to their mother. Trust your mom. You know, she is your mother, but she always has your best interest at heart. But our kids have to feel safe somewhere to say certain things.
Right.
And if they can't come to any of us and say it, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say it to somebody. When I was in junior high, I remember a friend telling me, well, you can have sex, but if you drink a cap of vinegar after you had a sex, you can't get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wound up pregnant. So I was like, you didn't drink your vinegar, you know, because I couldn't go home and say that to my grandmother and ask that question. So I think open lines of communication with our kids, especially in today's society where everything is desensitized.
Right.
It's important that our kids feel like they can talk to someone.
Definitely.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's vital. Again, especially from us men to the boys.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we said it earlier, there are broken homes and there are only mothers in the home. And mom has to play that role of the father and the son. I'm sorry, the father and the mother as well. And so she has to conversate with young men on things that the father should be doing.
Right.
So, so I think it's important, to, like you said, to keep that open communication.
What I did was, because my son, I was going away or somewhere, And he was in my room, apparently. So when I turned on, it was at the desk, I turned on my computer, porno propped up. So I was like, all right. So I called him in. I said, I knew you was on my computer. One, why you was on my computer, you know, with your little sticky hand. I was upset. That's the most part. You know, I'm saying, go clean my computer. You know what I'm saying?
Don't smell like baby lotion.
Okay. Why was you in my room?
Why is my lotion bottle half empty? Okay. And I just bought
get
it.
Get out of here. I told him, get
the
out of here.
The don't even work no more.
So, but when they do that, you know, I'm not a man, but I feel like they have a need or a desire for explanation. Mm-hmm. No?
Oh, well, a need or desire for explanation. I thought you was going somewhere deeper because it ain't really that deep.
Yeah, just explanation. It's the how-to's really and what deep. I should do, you know, a lot of times. And then sometimes it can get deep because some of these kids can get a little addictive, a little bit too much. You're in the bathroom a little bit too much, you know. It can't go there, you know. Mm-hmm. But... Angel, like, honey, I was a boy, I know.
You know, I mean, there can be underlying mental health issues and other things that maybe, you know, I can get that you can't be worried, that you should be worried about, especially if the child has been molested and some things like that. But
or
I guess for the sake of our conversation, it's just, I think we're just talking about regular children, mm-hmm. you know. So, and it's just a part of growing up, you know, and I think when we make a big deal out of it, then mm-hmm. we put shame on kids that right. shouldn't be there,
right.
you know, and we make, turn sex into, you know, cause we church folk, mm-hmm. so we make sex seem so dirty, so now that's why they got to sneak in back rooms and try to have it, you're going to hell and all of that, and we know what the Bible says, so therefore, I think that's why we should have those conversations with them, you know, and educate and use it as a teachable moment, mm-hmm. you know, because you want to see what they're thinking, you know, but regardless of what your pet see, I'm professionally ratchet. So regardless of what your pastor say, your grandma say, your mama say, your uncle say, you can throw him on the altar all you want. He going to watch that porn.
Yeah.
And he going to use your lotion. because it's just a natural physiological response to aging and maturity. So, you know, and maybe I just feel that way because I work in the medical field. So it's just certain things happen at certain ages in your life.
Yes.
It just simply is what it is. And I think we sometimes put more on it. We make something natural feel unnatural.
Yes.
Yes.
That's true.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's real great.
And if you guys.
Well, I'm
you
going
know.
To the bathroom while y'all keep talking.
You know what?
Wash your hands.
For that sticky phone.
Give me them wipes, them sanitizer wipes right there.
You see, he keep all kind of hand sanitizer and wipes and stuff all around the
room. Yeah. Now he done made it unnatural. We were talking about natural. Now it's unnatural.
Jimmy hands so.
But you know what? One of the things is, and you can go ahead and talk about it, is I love lead. I think I told you. I said, what age we have to be for lead? Because I've been ready for Spirit to join lead. I love lead. I love
middle and high school students.
I love the people who, you know, you guys who are, you know, these folks want to call you when they know you're doing the show. I don't get that. So they want.
What?
So, you know, I like the people who are doing it. You, Chevron, my cousin Whitney. The other guy, Nick, mm-hmm. all of you guys, and I love it about you guys because you're so professionally ratchet also, you know, and you keep it real. So that's a professional ratchet crew, you know, and I know they probably think, why did Tanisha just say that? But you guys are because you keep it real, and I love that, and that's why I'm so excited, you know, I'm ready for Spirit to get that age that she can join lead because you don't only have, like, you know, when it comes to literacy, but you do the, like, the STEM.
You do everything.
You do
STEM,
everything.
Financial, leadership development,
all of that.
College
Talk
prep.
About it. Tell us the name
of Lead Nation.
It.
Lead Nation is a nonprofit organization founded 8 years ago in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of the Florida A&M University by State Representative Chevron Jones and my friend Leo Stoney. They started it as college students, and they wanted to do some type of summer program for students. They, you know, as college students, they were already looking for ways they could give back. So the program originated in Tallahassee and moved here to South Florida, and we've carried on, and then it even expanded the mission. So we do group mentoring for students, and we meet with our middle and high school students once a month, the fourth Saturday of every month at Broward College South Campus on Pines. And every month, you know, we follow our curriculum and we bring in different speakers, educators, doctors, whatever the topic is for the month. And because for us, again, like I said, it's about exposure and options. So we do a lot of work with them, but then we also bring in a lot of successful people so that they can find people they identify with and they can see themselves with. And we do college tours and trips and a lot of college prep as well. So
yeah.
By the time the students get ready to graduate for high school, they're ready for whatever their what next is. And in the program, although we all push college, we all went to college and are educated, I recognize also college isn't for everybody. So we want you to be prepared with whatever your what next is. So once you graduate out of the program, if it's going to the military, getting a trade, starting a business, or whatever it is, you have the tools, you know, to be able to do that. As a matter of fact, we have two events coming up. Next Wednesday, the 27th, is our parent-student information session. It's going to be at Broward College, 7 o'clock in the evening, the South Campus on Pines. And that's our kickoff to our mentoring program. Mm-hmm. We kind of run concurrent with the school year. And then we're off during the summer unless we're doing trips and stuff like that. And so that's when we bring all of the parents and new students in to learn about the program and to get ready. And then the following week on September 5th and 6th, we have our South Florida Youth Summit Town Hall.
Yeah.
And this town hall this year, I'm so excited. I probably could jump across the rail right now. This town hall is all about technology and coding. Mm. So there's, you know, we all have these smartphones and we have apps and all of this technology we use. So we're bringing students in and we're partnering with Code Fever and Florida Memorial University to teach students how to build apps and to teach them about robotics.
There was a Spirit's a part of, but we couldn't go that weekend. Girl Code, they mm-hmm. had it down here.
Yes, so Felicia will be back with us. With, okay, Black Girls Code and Cold Fever. And so the first night, Friday night, is more of a town hall. So we have Jeff Johnson, everybody our age, we know him as yeah. Cousin Jeff from BET and the Tom Joyner Morning Show and MSNBC and all the great things he's done in NAACP. He'll be with us Friday night. And that's more of a town hall, open forum session. We'll have students engaged, talking about careers and entrepreneurship and ways they can make money, you know, once they graduate. They don't even have to graduate. You can be 12 years old and build an app.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll talk about that. And then on Saturday will be more of a hands-on practical setting. So they'll be in the computer lab with Felicia and her team from Black Girls Code and Code Fever, and they will walk away with an app built on that Saturday.
Wow.
So, oh, wow. So I'm going to lie about their age.
So awesome. We're excited, you know, about that work. And this really is the precursor to our really big event, the South Florida Youth Summit, which will take place in March.
Awful. So we'll what have is more the age information. Group again? I'm sorry.
It's middle and high school mm-hmm. students.
So I have a 13-year-old middle school student. Mm-hmm.
It's very going to be a middle schooler.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to talk.
So we talk, you know, and it's girls and boys.
And give them the Facebook page or how if they want to get in contact with me because it's very important.
You can find me personally on Facebook. I'm Adrian D. Freeman. So if you go to Coach Keish or Tanisha's page, you can find me there for sure. But it's Adrian D. Freeman. It is full. I have 5,000 friends already. But if you want to be my friend, you can click follow or you send me a private message and say delete some of them non-professionally ratchet people. So you can then make room for me, which I do all the time. So you can definitely connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, Adrian D. Freeman. Also, you can look on Facebook for My Lead Nation. Yeah. So that's the organization's page, My Lead Nation. You can definitely follow that page and you'll get all the information about our events and what we have coming up. But wonderful. If you do, honestly, if you do have middle and high school students in South Florida and you're looking for a positive outlet for them, something yes. they can do where they can learn and grow, please get in contact with me. My number, I'll give you my phone number, 786-417-1298. You can call me directly as well, and we love to have you and your students out.
And I approve that message, guys. I love. I've been waiting for Spirit to get in middle school just so she can get into this program, but I think we're going to sneak out there on that day when the Girl Code is out there because mm-hmm. we missed a session that was in Miami, and I really, really wanted to go.
Well,
we're going to go ahead and talk to Tony Edmonds. Just tell us a little about the program that you're having, that you do have, that's geared to the young folks and the young adults.
Yes, I'm an inspirational speaker as well as a life coach, an advocate. A mentor.
Yeah, and a few other life things.
But yeah, we life coaching. But along with that, I developed a workshop that I call Rules of Engagement. And they're basically developmental solutions and strategies. And basically applications of gaining a new mindset and encouraging better decision making, and self-improvement values. And so I teach on these things because, again, back to what we were saying earlier, many times the young adults and the youth just need to be educated. You know, so we can shout from a rooftop all day long, stop the violence and do this and do that, but until people become educated and to gain insights on things to be able to change, to be able to make a difference, to do things differently, we'll never get a different result. So again, so I developed the rules of engagements where it's a workshop, and I teach on different strategies. And I'll go down the list of my rules of engagements. And as I was talking with Tanisha the other day, I'm in the process of also extending my rules of engagements where we're going to start doing more hands-on. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the process of working on that, and especially with this the issues that we're having currently.
Let me interrupt you 1 second, Tony. This conversation was brought about because on the other day we had some officials, law enforcement, come to my ministry, my church, to speak with the kids in regards to, you know, what's going on with the Ferguson, what to say, what not to say, yes, and violence. And those kids had a lot of questions, but they needed to actually see scenarios, yes, you know, that they would be in, and yes, just talk about the engagement list.
Yes, yes. Like you said, seeing scenarios, and again, that's a part of what I'm going to work on to extend these rules of engagements. I actually getting some audience dialogue and participation, and seeing some live, real life situations and things that they can relate with that actually take place out in the real world. Mm-hmm. And so, with my rules of engagements, right now I have 11 rules of engagements, and the first one is to know your enemy. And many times, if we know our enemy, we can that'll give us the opportunity to separate ourselves many times from someone that we might be associating with.
Yeah.
So many times, the enemy is right with us, and we don't realize it. So therefore, we carry ourselves along with that person and do the things that we do with that person. And before you know it, that individual have got you caught up. So that's what I mean by knowing your enemy. You need to know, okay, if this person is really truly for me or really truly my friend, or is this really my enemy? And so one of the first things that we need to know, even so I can relate to that being in the Army, serving some years in the Army, we always had to know your enemy in order to be successful in any battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to know your enemy. The next thing is to avoid the violence, basically changing your environment. You know, these are, again, simple strategies, but yet very powerful. You got to avoid the violence. And as you can see on the front of my shirt, a slogan that I actually came up with.
You know what? It basically says, Tanisha, it says, in order to stop the violence, we must first avoid the violence.
Okay.
JB, really?
Go ahead, Tanisha. You can look at it.
I'm done. That's right, Adrian.
I
don't forget
Adrian.
You. Don't forget you, baby.
He ain't that the only one.
He ain't the only one over here working with something.
Hey,
take my clothes off in this place.
Oh, go ahead and flex on him, Adrian.
So what's the third one?
Okay, the next one is be the bigger man or be the bigger woman.
Always.
Always. Yeah. And number four is practice making better decisions and controlling your emotions. And that's something that I talked to the youth about
Jesus
the other night. That's basically thinking before you act. The next one is reporting troubling behaviors. Mm. We have a problem with doing that because I'm a snitch.
Snitching, yeah.
What happens with snitches, they say?
Get stitches.
They get stitches. So we got to begin to report troubling behaviors. And when we do that, we can actually avoid or alter some of the things that actually take
place. And that goes with if you feel like you're being violated by a police officer also,
yes,
which we discussed, you know, you know, we have so many smartphones. If you feel like, and it's for the adults as well.
Right.
If you feel like, you know, things aren't going right, take a picture of the patrol tag.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think the young man was saying, you can keep your camera out while they're doing it. He said he do a lot of patrolling. They just had their camera out, just be watching. They be recording everything.
Yeah.
You can record because you never know what may happen. So that's your defense, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
it's
I didn't
right
mean
there.
Take over. Go ahead.
It's right now. You're good. Number six would be to break the cycle.
She didn't mean to take over.
You're good. Break the cycle and change the way you think.
basically developing a new mindset.
Right. Yeah.
Number seven is get to know self. And we talked about self-identity, which is a big, huge issue. You know, we can know who we are and know where we should be and where we should not be. See, I truly believe that a lot of our youth end up in prison simply because they don't realize that they're not supposed to be there, you know. And so if we begin to just hone in onto little simple things like that, and it starts from the home, and these youth and young adults getting to know really who you are.
Right. And know that you're better than that.
Right. Know that you're better than that, exactly. Yeah. I mean, once you do that, I mean, you're able to stand up against any giant that face you.
Right.
You know, you're able to walk away from situations. You're able to not do something because of how someone else sees you.
Right.
You know, because, hey, I know who I am. I'm confident in who I am. So, no, I walk away from that. I don't have to make that choice.
And sometimes even when they do make mistakes, we don't have to put it on them that that defines them for the rest of their life.
Right. Right.
You know, we all made our certain mistakes, and some things that they do, you know, we don't have to continually remind them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We stole that piece of candy or, you know, whatever the case may be, that it doesn't define them for the rest of their life, and that, that they can change, you know, and they can be a better person.
Because I hate to hear, like, I've heard moms say to their sons, like, you're going to be
just like your daddy. Yeah. Ooh, I hate
that.
You
ain't going to be nothing. You're going to wind up in prison like him or dead like him.
You're speaking that.
You know, you're planting the seed in your child, and
every time
we have
to
start validating our children at home so that the world doesn't have to tell them who they are or what they are.
So the world doesn't have to give them their identity.
Identity. Exactly.
They need that.
And that's good stuff. I love talking about identity. I think a couple weeks, about a month ago, we had Jason Revna on the show talking about his book, Being an Authentic Self. Actually, Jason and Adrian here used to be my partners on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah,
I can find nobody. Adrian, you available?
Yep.
Adrian gonna talk. Mm-hmm. So it's about knowing ourselves, and that's the one thing. Because at that age, when they talk about psychology or whatever, sociology, it's about knowing themselves. They really don't. They are struggling, and that's what we have to pay attention to see. You know, we really have to pay attention to them to see what's going on. I know people say, "Oh, you're being nosy." I don't care. I want to see. Let me. What you got in here?
Yes.
Who you got? You got kicked. What you got kicked for?
Random phone check.
Oh, I do. I look in there. What's your password? I don't know my password. You don't know my password. I want
to
see.
You have to do
then
that.
I look at the conversation. What type of conversations that you're having? Mm-hmm. You know, you have to, because the more they be around different people, you know, you don't even know who's influencing your child sometimes.
Yes.
You know, so you have to just pay attention.
My 11-year-old just lost her new iPhone 5.
Oh, wow.
And probably won't get it back for a year if I have anything to do with it for just that very reason.
Yeah.
Those text messages and that foolishness she's in those in the text groups talking with her friends.
Yeah, then you realize, I ain't know they curve.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You be looking at stuff like, oh, my God. You know, all this, you know, different things. So we have to pay attention, and we have to be mindful.
You do.
I mean, that's just my opinion.
You do. And if your kids have Snapchat, just punch them in the face and take their phone.
I don't even know Snapchat.
Snapchat is an app where you can take a photo, send it to a person, and then the photo deletes and goes away forever.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Snapchat.
Wow, and that's something that they
so they take pictures of their bodies then.
Okay. You can take pictures of whatever.
So that's what I'm assuming is for.
You send it to your friend on Snapchat. They can look at it.
Now, is it truly going away forever?
Well, supposedly it disappears. You know, I mean, it's
electronic
technology land. It's probably out there somewhere.
Well, yeah.
But the picture doesn't show up in like your photo stream and stuff like that.
A person can, even if they Snapchat, a person can screenshot right quick.
About to say, people screenshot so quick. You know, that's like the thing. They screenshot everything.
Yeah, be careful.
Because it's like 5 seconds and then it's gone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unless you screenshot it.
Well, somebody should have Snapchat me, because they sent me a picture. They
should have
Snapchat that mess from that.
Now, you know, I got a picture a couple months ago. The man was looked like his grandmama dining room table.
Nice challenge.
He had his foot up on the chair with some football socks on, and that was it. And I was like, when I opened the picture, I said, what in the world? I said, boy, why you got that hanging out there like that? You know, like, people do a lot of inappropriate stuff. So when you talk about like our kids finding themselves and identifying themselves. What about those kids who are living in a house with an adult who hasn't figured out who they are yet either?
Yeah, you know,
because there are so many. I went to my son's school, and I believe that, you know, we represent our children when we step into their school. Mm-hmm. So I don't get that you didn't put on a bra.
Right.
You didn't comb your hair. You didn't wash your face. You know, you represent your child when you walk into this office.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we expect our children to behave in a way, this whole do as I say and not as I do concept?
Right. No, that's foolishness.
How do you raise your children and then you represent them when you step out the door, step into their school, looking like you just rolled out the bed, stepped in your
shoes. Forgot you were going to be in there for 2 hours.
Exactly. Yeah. And then came up to the school. Like, how does that work? You know, my mother, I was always proud to see my mother and grandmother come to my school because I wasn't in trouble. And the fact that they were always dressed, you know, always had their hair nice.
Yes.
But I'm seeing so many parents. You know, the daddy come in, the pants is hanging down the back of his knees. Mm-hmm. And
some baggy,
you know,
pants with some slippers.
And then, I can see the whole drawers, the whole pair of drawers. Yeah. You know, like, why did you even bother to put the pants on in the first place?
That's so disgusting.
We're asking our children to be these better adults than we are, you know. And you know, it has to change. It has to start with the parents.
You know, Tony, how are you dealing with that, especially being a football coach? So you're around boys and their fathers. And how do you deal with this sagging pants epidemic and this just, I don't know.
That's a good question, Adrian. It's frustrating. Honestly, it's frustrating, especially when you see a coach out there doing the same thing. You know?
The role model.
The role model, sort of, supposed to be. But it's frustrating because you preach it, you try to demonstrate it, but then you just look on the other side of the field.
Somebody's undoing it.
You see opposite.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? So what did the kid do? You know, especially, as you said, Keisha, if they're getting it from home as well.
Right.
So Adrian, I just continue to try to
even with the kids
show a positive example.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And continue to stay in their ear.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and that's basically
it's
all
tough.
You can do. You know,
You know, we have a whole generation of boys who have never worn their pants the right way now.
Yeah.
You know, when we were younger, well, even it was got a haircut. Kind of a fad. Mm-hmm. But now you have boys now who are 6 and 7, 10, 12 years old.
They walking like this. They walking holding their pants. You see 5 year olds walking holding their pants.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Their mama dressed them like that.
Absolutely. I think it's cute.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But then what about the, you know, I know we're going off topic, but this is Candid Conversation. That's how Paper Talk does it. So you can give us a call at 954-769-1562, yourpartner.com. So what about now school pictures? I said I was going to like everybody's school picture on the first day, but then some people put the second, third, fourth, fifth. Okay, whatever. What about the little kids, the sixth grader that going to school with this long Malaysian hair?
Yeah.
I'm like, you going to school? Why your mama got you in this long Malaysian hair? You know, I mean, school pictures today, the first day were about book bags, long socks, and what was the other? And shoes, and expensive shoes. Mm. That was the picture. Book bags, long socks. I said, well, Spirit, we must have missed the memo.
Because most schools now are uniform schools, so now they're focusing on
uniform.
Where do you have your individuality. So the book bag is now in the socks and the shoes and the hairdos. I have issues with little girls with the extra long hair and color. Like, that's I don't even have a daughter. But it really, I was a little girl, and I remember wanting this, so I'm not knocking a child for wanting something that's, you know, a little bit more mature than what they need at the time. Mm-hmm. But I remember getting shut down. Well, like, there was really no conversation with my grandmother about none of it, you know.
Right. And what do you have to look forward to?
Enough, exactly. Like, the lip gloss was even, like, no-no. Yeah. And, you know.
Lashes already.
Lashes and color contact lenses. And I remember wanting goals. Mm-hmm. And that was like, if you get the goals, you got to get a place to stay because you can't stay here. Right. You know, so as parents, like, we set the tone. You know, I tell my boys, you have the rest of your life to be grown. And trust me, it ain't fun. When you get out there, it's not fun.
Yeah.
But right now, you're a kid, and I need you to be that
kid. Yes. Yeah.
For right now.
Yes.
Later on, you.
That's an old song, and I'm sure you guys remember the song Mama Used to Say.
Take your time, young man.
Right.
Take your time. I told my kids that all the time, my daughter and my son. And many times they would do the things that adults do.
Yeah,
you know, and I tell them, hey, man, you need to take your time. Well, I mean, what are you in a hurry for?
Right.
You got a whole life ahead of you. And so they need to know that.
And we also need to know that there are predatory people out here in this world.
Yeah.
And when we send our children out, like, no matter what it is,
you think you want to be grown.
You set your, if you, you don't drop them off to the front door of the school, you still set them up for that predator who's riding around and waiting and looking.
Was already at the school.
Or they in the school already watching and looking.
Yes.
I do not need, you know, my son, he grew facial hair at like 14. Oh my gosh. And I remember sending him to take the trash out one day, and it took him a little too long to come back. So I walked out the front door, and there he was at a car, and a lady was talking to him. So I went downstairs, and she was 20-something years old, and she was, you know, having a sexual conversation with a 14-year-old, you know. And I lost my ever-loving mind in that parking lot. But they come in all shapes and sizes, you know. Give your children a fighting chance, because when someone, as an adult, you take something from a child, you can't give it back.
Yep.
Once it's done, it's done. Mm-hmm. And these women out here, they're looking at your son as their potential mate.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
They're looking at your son.
Yes, they do.
You know, even friends. I've had friends that I've had to check for saying some inappropriate things about my son, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He could be great. Now he's 20. Do whoever you want to do it and whatever you want to do. But you know what you got is a foundation. You got fundamentals. So you're going to get that tingly sensation if it ain't right. But we can't send our children out looking like they work at a strip joint.
Exactly.
And then expect this grown man seeing your little girl with that little body, you know, and say, oh, yeah, she only 10. Mm-hmm. No, that's not what they're looking at.
I think that woman was not really, like, here's the sad truth. That woman wasn't looking at the young 14-year-old as a mate. She was looking at him as a sex toy.
Be straight honest with you. You're right.
And women are doing that.
Yes.
I mean, I was in that position. I was 16, had a 29-year-old approaching me. I'm thinking I'm doing the thing. But when I got older, I realized it affected my relationships.
Right.
Because when I got a little older, younger girls at my age weren't sexually as aggressive as this woman was.
Well, that's why I can't get you.
That's what all of them
that's why. That's what's wrong here. It ain't me.
You've
been around the block too long.
But another thing too, though. Now we
I got something for you.
That's what's up.
Yeah. That's my camera out.
After the show.
No.
After the show.
Listen, you finish. Are you finished?
Oh, no, not finished yet.
Somebody calling him to get that together right quick.
I got you,
JB. You better tell him.
I'm just saying, no. But going back
to Sunday school teacher.
Going to about how people dress. Like, even at church, girls be going to church looking like they going to the strip club.
God said, come as you are.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and these are some of the mamas of the kids that we are talking about.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, I go in the back. Sometimes I barely go to church. I barely go to church. When I do sit in the back, I be looking at panty lines and everything. I'm like, golly, really?
Are you very
I need to come to church more.
No decorum.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. You're in the back. I'm on the front row.
Yeah.
So I see everything that walk by.
That's
real talk, though.
I'm just saying.
And you know, and our kids, they don't say much, but they see everything.
Of course.
Your kids see everything, and they're either you're being the best or the worst example for your own children.
Right.
Even putting them in the best of mentorship programs. If I'm not, when he comes home from the program, I don't say, well, hey, how did it go?
Right.
What's going on? How, you know, what did you learn? Or who did you meet? If you're not invested.
Yes.
Yep.
Then everything, all the effort out there on the football field you're putting in with those boys, if nobody is feeding that at home, they're not getting that nourishment, that reassurance that this is good and this is what's going to get you to where you need to be.
So true.
It's almost like, you know, what's the point?
Right.
You know, our teachers are in school and they have to wear so many hats.
Oh, definitely.
They got to be counselors and nurses and all this stuff.
And
parents. And they got to buy school supplies for the kids who come to school with no supplies.
Right.
And then if they call and say, hey, you know, Keisha, I'm calling you because Zuri, this, that, or the third, they liable to get cussed out for even showing any concern for the children. So it's like, again, as a village, we need to start going back to PTA meetings. We need to take that seriously.
Right.
We need to be in camaraderie with the teachers in the school.
Yes,
we do. We shouldn't. The teacher is not the enemy.
Huh. Right.
You know, you get mad. We look down and see the teacher calling you up. Why are you mad about that?
Yeah.
You know, let's show partnership, because our children should know that I'm invested. Miss Simpkins is invested. Mr. Freeman is invested. Right, Mr. Right. Emmons is. We all invested in you
yes.
doing well. How right. could a child get too much love?
I agree.
No, they can't. Yeah. And that's true. We have to be invested.
I want to ask a question that's on sure. our list. Because, you know, with your rules of engagement,
mm-hmm.
what
mm-hmm.
do you think needs to change within our police departments in reference to race relations and response procedures? Because I'm amazed. You know, I lost a cousin in February at the hands of the police. Uh-huh. And he was only 26 years old. Over peeing in an alley. Like, it was just that senseless.
Yes.
But I want to know, for our young men who are listening, what should their response be to a police officer confronting them, pulling them over? You know, what needs to happen in those situations? Because we can't keep burying these young men.
I agree. For one, I think we need to begin to put the ego aside. And I know as young mm-hmm. black men, we're geared towards to buck against authority. And so that's one of the first things that we got to learn to yeah. do is to begin to accept authority figures.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. it's okay to be told what to do.
It is.
You know, and so, again, we have to begin to instill that in them and educate them on the proper protocol mm-hmm. on how they should respond when a law officer approaches them.
Right.
Which is some of the things that we did and demonstrated the other night over at Hopewell. But, yeah, to answer your question, a few more things. I think also police have to get back to community policing.
Yes,
definitely.
On their routes and things, getting out, shaking hands.
Yes,
getting to know the people in your the routes and your communities, connecting yeah. with them. I think that would help avoid a lot of the issues that we deal with.
Yes.
Because you begin to make bond. You begin to regain trust that's been broken.
Mm-hmm.
I recall as a kid, we considered the police as officer friendly.
Right. Yes.
And we highly respected policemen.
Right.
You know, and so, again, to answer your question, the respect has to be regained.
Right.
You know, from the citizens or from black young men to the police officer. I also would say that I think retraining of the law enforcement mm-hmm. To some degree, perhaps some stress training and things of that nature and dealing with current situations. And again, I think when they begin to understand us as black people better, they can respond better. But also, again, highly press that we as black people and young black men have to really, really understand the law enforcement as well. We have to understand that you're not going to win. You know, you need to understand that. You know, you're not going to understand that. You need to understand that in the end that there's no win-win situation with that. So we have to begin to gain a new mindset and a new perception on receiving authority, more so than looking at it as though someone is, hey, he's just trying to tell me what to do. Or with learned behavior, we're geared to, again, as I said earlier, buck against authority. And so that's what I think needs to happen. You know, become yeah. educated on what, how should we deal with this. I can share a personal experience that I had
mm-hmm.
in an encounter with police growing up in Miami. Myself and two other friends were coming home about 2-3 in the morning, and we went out to shoot a game of pool, this friendly pool. And we seen the officers pass us, but then not long after that, they did a U-turn. They mm-hmm. came behind us, was pulled us over. We're not speeding. You know, we're not on drugs, not doing drugs, don't have any drugs on us, no weapons. So we're wondering why we're being stopped. Okay. They pull us over. The officer walks up to the driver, asks for his information, license, registration. And one of the questions I asked him, a friend, I was sitting in the back seat. I asked him to ask the officer why we're being stopped.
It's them backseat drivers.
The back seat, I was that driver that night. But I said, ask him why we been stopped. Well, he asked the officer, and the officer said, I don't have to tell you
mm-hmm.
why I am stopping mm-hmm. you. Basically gave him a few choice words.
Mm-hmm.
So I got upset. I stood out of the back seat of the car, and I threw my arms up,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him aggressively, why are we being stopped? Well, at that time, his partner got out of the passenger seat of the police car, put his hand on his weapon and told me to get back in the car. Well, did I get back in the car initially? Yeah. No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm angry. I'm upset.
Right.
You know. So I said again, I need to know why you guys are stopping us. You know, I didn't say you guys, but, you know,
I
didn't know why y'all stopping us. Well, at that time, he stepped both feet out of the vehicle with his hand on his weapon and began to approach me. Well, I had two choices at that moment.
Hmm.
I could have continued with my aggressive attitude, or I could say, let me make a better choice because this might turn ugly. So what I did, I humbled myself and I got my butt back in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Was I mad? Of course. So I'm saying that to say that we have to begin to be able to make better choices,
right,
in these moments like this.
Because it could have went another way.
That could have turned deadly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it very well could have turned
deadly.
Because
as soon as you walk towards him, he can stand his ground. He
felt
threatened.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know. And so that's what needs to happen, Keisha. You know, we need to be able to learn and become educated on proper protocol, how we should deal with the officers, law enforcement, when we're stopped, and how to respond to that.
And we should be respectful.
And be respectful.
Because them being a law enforcement officer, they're in fear for their life for every stop that they approach.
Right.
They don't know. You know, you could have some good person in there. All of a sudden, they may shoot you and run off because you don't know, you know, what may have been going on in their life or if there's something or anything like that.
Right.
So I do understand that part. Now, with the situation that happened in Ferguson, a lot of it's saying, you know, because of his size, he may have intimidated, and there's questions that he, you know, snatched something out from the car or whatever the case may be. But there are different tactics that we can use to handle a situation.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
And that's why I say I think the law officers need to be retrained. Like you said, of course, we wasn't there, but that situation may have – it could have been dealt with differently.
Right.
You
definitely.
Know, it could have went down differently. Like you said, I'm sure the officer perhaps maybe did fear for his life, especially if the guy is as big as this gentleman was. However, I think it still could have been a different decision, a different choice to handle that situation.
Yeah.
Again, I think not knowing the whole situation and not being there, from what I can understand, I would blame both parties. And a lot of people would be upset with me saying that, but I'm keeping it real with my opinion. I think if any kind of way that gentleman got aggressive with the officer, if he did, then he's wrong in that sense. You know, if the officer asked him to do a certain thing and he disobeyed, then he's wrong in that sense. Now, on the officer's side, by him responding with the, you know, the gun and shooting the kid in the way that he did, especially if the kid had his hands up, I don't know. You know, again, he's wrong. So I think both parties have to be responsible in this thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, the officer
think,
as well as the suspect, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I think it's a respect. Hold on. I think it's a respect. Like the community, they had already said there's less value and respect for the officers. So he probably felt the way that way. And then him as an officer and being there, he probably felt the same way. I have no value in you guys here.
Exactly.
So they both, you know, I'm just a speculation, mm-hmm. had no value in each other.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, because there are times that I used to tell my son when he go out, I say, listen, Tyrone, when you go out there, I make sure you ride safe. I don't need you to have four guys in the car. Y'all don't need to be, if you get stopped, I need you to be respectful.
Yes.
Because it's three of y'all in the car and it's probably him just stopping y'all.
Right.
I need y'all to be respectful. I need you to, I'm not saying that you gotta, you know, I don't need you to jump out the car like you said. Well, what you stopping me for? What you stopping me for?
Because
females do that too.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They do that too. So you need to be respectful of the law, period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, being a former correctional officer,
mm-hmm.
I stand 5'2" tall
mm-hmm.
at male prison.
Mm.
There were men that towered over me,
yes.
you know, and their sheer size was a bit intimidating.
Yeah.
But I could tell you this, never did I get in an altercation, and it didn't stop me from doing my job.
Right.
I think a lot of times for some law enforcement officers, but the sheer fact that they have a weapon at their disposal makes their ability to navigate a situation a little less important to them, because there's a way to do your job.
Calm a situation.
You know, and calm us and quell a situation. We were in a prison. Mm-hmm. They don't give correction officers weapons. Your weapon is your mind. Yeah. You better be able to talk your way out of a situation. You better be able to navigate this situation. I may leave you in this room with 500 inmates, and you're the only officer standing here. But you have to maintain the control over this situation.
Yeah.
So what I'm confused about is the fact that correctional officers all over this country have this job to do with no weapon.
Every day.
Every single day. And you know what you sign on day one of your job? It's called a no hostage policy. That means if an inmate takes you hostage, you are on your own.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We don't negotiate with inmates. We won't
come in there blazing guns.
You know,
wow.
you sign a no hostage policy saying that I know that the nature of my job, I could lose my life at any moment in time when I come through this gate.
Right.
But I come here to serve the community in this position. So if a correction officer can make it through a day without killing somebody, tell me why our police officers out here on the street mm-hmm. seem to be so quick to the trigger.
Yes.
That's what I'm concerned about. For us, the matrix says however the inmate is responding, that's how far you can go. So if the inmate is yelling, you can yell. The minute that inmate calms down, you must calm down.
Mm-hmm.
So as an officer, if the person has their hands up.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. If they're, this is here I am.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get to shoot me in that case?
Right.
You know, and I
Six
think
times.
That when it turns into a situation where we're talking about equal accountability and responsibility, the police officer took an oath
mm-hmm.
to first protect and serve.
Right.
And he lost that. And if the nature of the job you're doing, if it has gotten to be too much, you realize I can't do this job,
mm-hmm.
you know, in good conscience, I'm always in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Then that job is not for you.
For
I'm not saying that it's not a natural feeling.
Right.
Every day I would go, before I go in that gate, I say my prayer. Lord,
oh, yeah.
mm-hmm. you know
yeah.
what I got to do today, you know.
Yeah.
But I understood the job that I took
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
I do not give our police officers the same amount of accountability as the citizens because they took on a position of
yes.
authority and they took on a position to protect and serve.
Right.
And
to
we
do
can't,
it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we can't, and the check ain't even all that half the time, yeah,
right.
you know. But at the end of the day, I have an authority position, I have a job to do. And I can't, our president can't get on the TV and cuss the whole nation out.
I know, right?
You know what I'm saying?
So
because he's like, y'all a bunch of idiots. You're not voting. You're talking crap.
right.
You know, he
didn't
still
even
has,
come to Ferguson. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
You know,
and,
he
and
has
even
to
if
make,
he do, you know.
He loses his credibility
yeah.
if he does that. So in my opinion, when police officers just take the fact that I am the authority figure
yes.
and that's enough to justify all of my actions and all of my behaviors, like, we need to do something else needs to happen.
Yeah. And like you said, the officers, they have to make better decisions too. You know?
And that's, mm-hmm. yeah.
And like you said, I'm sure many times the officer can actually talk that situation down.
Yes.
Despite,
yes.
Despite
yes.
how
we've had to
they
do
talk
it.
Talk to someone.
we've had
you know?
To do it.
Yeah.
It's all about communication.
It's all
yeah.
about communication.
And respect, you know.
You know, mm-hmm. I never called an inmate. I always learned their last names, and I would say Freeman. Come here, talk to me. If I see you yelling and screaming, I'm going to separate you from this crowd. You come over here, let's have a conversation. I'm going to keep a safe distance, but we're going to have a conversation.
Right.
How many times were you in a situation where you knew that this could go left or right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I always remember that one situation. That particular didn't have a camera, and this man had been hounding me for the longest. I mean, he said, yeah, Miss, my last name was Johnson at the time. Yeah. You know, was trying to get at me, but
right.
you know, I wasn't having it. So we was doing visitation, and I
as
did
a
like
correction officer.
Yeah,
wow.
yeah. They say whatever. So I was a floater. So I'm taking him out there to his girlfriend, one of them, and we were in this thing, and he knew we didn't have a camera there.
Right.
I knew we didn't have. He said, "You know, ain't no camera here."
Oh man.
And in my mind.
Uh-oh.
You got to go for what you know.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If anything, you
yeah.
know, and I'm like, and in the other mind, Lord Jesus, please, you know, but that's how they are.
Yes.
So, and it's that same situation. I had to talk my situation. I said, well, I know for sure, you know, you're only doing minimum time. You're not going to risk your life, you know, just to try to get at me, you know, because you have a desire.
Yeah.
You know, I, you know, all kind of skills start coming out
yeah.
your mouth,
yeah.
you know, to talk. But a lot
and
of
God said,
yes.
And I wonder,
thou shalt not
if
kill.
They, if all the weapons were taken away.
Right.
If we took all the weapons even for one day away from the police officers and they had to go out into the community and
they
just,
can't do it.
They could not do it.
Because
you know,
that's a crutch for them.
Right.
It is. Because
ego.
As a correctional
yeah.
officer,
yeah.
I remember an inmate had a, you know, what they call contraband, when you have something that doesn't really belong to you. He had a radio.
Yeah.
And the captain said, go take the radio from this guy. He stood like 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
So when we went, I went in there, I went to talk to him, and he said, I'm not giving you this radio. I said, well, you know what? We're going to talk about this. So I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to get a property slip, and we're going to come back. Another officer decided, no, she wasn't waiting. So she barged into his cell, and she grabbed the radio. He grabbed her by the throat and hung her over the banister. Now, this guy had life. He had absolutely nothing else to lose.
Yeah, you don't have nothing.
The point is that in the end, he said, Miss Reed, I was going to give you the radio when you came back. Because you were talking to me. She came in and she tried to snatch it from me. So I think that even when we're dealing with a hostile situation, you go, how whatever you enter it in is how what you get back. So as an officer, if I enter the situation and I'm already being combative with this person in the community, they're going to be combative back with me. Because
everybody's
going to
hate you. You can't ride through that no more.
Excuse me, just a natural reaction.
It is.
Yeah.
But let me just explain, well, you know, one of the things that we can do is vote. You know, here locally, if you're here locally in South Florida, our voting is on Tuesday, August the 26th.
Yep.
We have had early voting. Now, this is the part where I get a little for Adrian. Now, we have had early voting. I see so many people on Facebook talking about the Ferguson case, talking about this, talking, posting all the videos, what we should do, keep Al Sharpton out, keep this person out, all of that. But my question is, have you gone down there to early vote? Because it's been available, right? And that's how we make change. You know, we have to early vote because Tuesday will come and they'll say, I didn't have time. I'm not going to work late. I wasn't going to go on my break. I didn't get off enough time to go.
Excuses.
So you'll be in that scenario where Ferguson, as you were saying, Adrian, the actual number was they had 1,500 black voters out of 15,000.
Wow.
So 10%.
10%.
Wow.
Wow.
You got 15,000 because the town is not that big.
Yeah.
You know, registered voters. Now, they're just the registered voters. Yeah. So that's even small.
And I think it's 70-30 split, I believe, 70% black there.
Wow. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So no one's voting. You know, or have the opportunity because some of them have a lot of convictions to vote. So, but that's not the norm for us right now here because we know what we can do in Florida because we have proven that. So we need to get out there and actually vote. You would have received your information in the mail for you to look at it, for you to read, see who all, you know, who's there to vote for. I can't tell you who to vote for. I may have my preference. But I can't tell you who to vote for. But just look at it,
and
you know,
read it.
And read it. That's the most important thing about it is actually reading. I know we don't vote based our votes on the signs that we see on the side of the road. Let me just tell you that become familiar. We see the same signs that's familiar. Oh, that person's name. So when you get up there, you only see that name.
Right.
You need to look them up. You need to, if you have to Google them, do whatever you have to do.
And
see if they're in your community.
Of the people in our community who we have voted for years and years and years.
Right.
And the only time you see them is when it's time to vote.
Yeah.
That just annoys me to no end. I will send you away from my front door. I have not seen you in this community since we elected you. And the next time I'm going to see you, when it's time to elect you all over again.
Oh, when Obama come to town.
Exactly. So please get up, you know, educate yourselves. Google the names. You know, everybody has a smartphone. Everybody's on Facebook.
Yes.
Google the name, and let's see what are these people really, what do they stand for, and what are they doing for our community.
And you can vote on today, and you can also vote on tomorrow.
Yes.
You know, you can make an event. We're going, we always go as a family when we do early voting. Me, my mom, and my aunts, we always go to do early voting. So we go on Sundays after service, and that's what we do. You can make it an event. You can do it with your family. Whatever you have to do.
Let's make that
make
a challenge.
Sure.
Let's make
that a challenge.
The voting challenge.
The voting challenge.
Yeah. So let's see how many want to post a I voted video.
A post a sticker. You know what I'm saying? Early voting sticker. Just make sure that you do it. So we as a community don't have these concerns and just only populated. I think your partner was talking the other day. Just only populated areas like Lauderhill or anything like that. So we can actually, you know exactly what's going on in our community, and we can hold these people accountable.
Right.
Yes.
You know?
So let me ask you, what's your opinion on why do you think we're not getting out to vote?
Lazy.
Period.
Don't care.
It's a priority.
It's not a priority, They don't care. You know, I'm not giving you offering nothing. I'm not giving you a free concert.
Yes.
There's no benefit for them. They feel like, okay, what's in it for me? I always talk about that.
Right.
They don't feel like there's nothing in it for them. So it's just like, okay, maybe.
Doesn't mean
you
much.
Know, it's not popular as it was when Obama was running or anything like that.
Right.
So, you know, it's just whatever. They don't even know who their mayor is, some people in their cities. You ask them, you've been here for 20 years, what's your mayor's name? And your mayor probably been there 20 years too.
Uh-huh.
They don't even know.
Didn't know.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be concerned because it affects our schools, you know, our zoning, chapter schools.
The businesses
Our businesses that we have. They don't go to the Chamber of Commons, breakfast, and all that other crap that they have to see what's going on.
Employment.
Which is, you know, it has a lot to do, you know, of renting a business or trying to own a business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all those things are effect. They have things right now I didn't even know. And I had to tell my family, and I'm not even from that town of Pompano, that they had, if you were a resident for a certain amount of years, that you get a certain amount of dollars to improve your home. Yes. I told my aunt, she said, oh, I didn't know that. You understand what I'm saying? It's so many things that go on that we just don't care enough to know about. Yeah. Like, we on the internet for everything else. A lot of Hill CRA, Pompano CRA, Sunrise CRA. Mm. They have all that information that's vital to us.
Because people, they just, I don't know. Our folks just, I don't know. It's the microwave age. Where they want it hot, they want it now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As opposed
and they'd
to
rather
the
hear
day.
From somebody else than to research it for themselves.
And they don't want to look for it.
You got to hand it to them. You got to take it to the door, knock on it. Here, this is for you.
Right.
Oh, Then they get it.
Yeah, you're right, Jimmy. and just to kind of tap on something what you just said, the microwave, and you got to knock on the doors. Many times in coaching, the kids, you know, of course, they have to do an application. The parents have to fill out the information. And right now, today, we've been practicing now about a good, give or take, month and a half maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the kids are still waiting for signatures.
Wow.
Some of the kids are still waiting for report cards, and they have to get this from the parents or the school.
Wow.
So that this kid, so we can continue to have this kid on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But many times we would try to go knock on the doors, as you said, Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
to try to get this information did. And if we don't catch the parent at home, we still can't, because they're not going to come out to the school. They're not going to come out to the park to take care of these things. So it's unfortunate that it's like that. I just wanted to kind of tap on that a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Where's the care? Yeah. Where's the love? You know, where's the concern?
So we want to thank you guys, you know, for here with Table Talk. And it has been about awareness, you know, awareness with our education, politics.
You got a new toy.
All of that. I know, right?
Haters.
I need that to follow me around.
Give me a cheer.
Just
we need that sometime,
me.
Okay? We need that sometime.
Yeah.
You know, and I just want to be brief on how we can contact Adrian. How can we contact you?
First of all, my phone number, direct, 786-417-1298. You can find me all over social media if you look for Adrian D. Freeman. D as
in
dog. I am an author, 10 Tips to Jumpstart Your Life Now, 10 Simple Tips to Help You Begin Moving Your Life Forward. But you can find me. If you want information on the mentoring program, you can call me also directly. Or if you go on Facebook in the search bar, put in My Lead Nation, and you'll find the Lead Nation page, or www.sfyouthsummit.com.
And, Tony, how can we contact you?
Okay, you can contact me a few different ways as well. You
all
can contact me on my recently designed website, which is www.tonyedmond.com.
That's
TonyEdmond.com. Or you can reach me via Facebook, where I post inspirational insights, fitness insights, daily and weekly, that would actually enhance and empower your life. That's www.facebook.com/TonyEdmond01, or the site is titled Tony Edmond. So again, that's facebook.com/TonyEdmond01. And also, that's my official site, also official Facebook site. Also have what I would consider a personal Facebook site, because I'm also a fitness model as well as a model and actor. So the other, the other Facebook would be tony.s.edmond at facebook.com, or it would be T Anthony Flex Edmond. You
can
also reach me via Twitter at Tony Edmond 08, and LinkedIn at Tony Edmond. My email.
Tony got all his stuff.
Okay. All of it.
I need some more
Can't
stuff.
Say you couldn't reach him. Can't say you couldn't reach him.
No, you can't say you can't
he
reach
came
him.
Prepared.
Yeah. I had to write the stuff down, too.
That's good. But, and you guys can contact the Table Talk Show on Facebook. Make sure that you do like our page and also our personal page, Shakisha Coach Keish Reed, and also myself, Tanisha Simpkins. And Tony also said if you want to send them an email in regards to coming out to the school or talking to your men or mentors, you can at TonyEdmonds08@gmail.com. You're listening to your partner. What we listen to?
YoPartner.com. She getting distracted, y'all. YoPartner.com.
Thank you so much, you guys. Have a great day.
Have
this
a great
day. The Table Talk Radio Show.
I don't want to.